Most participants in the federal long-term care program opted to pay significant premium hikes or accept lower coverage for 2017. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee wants to know why. The committee's first hearing on the topic comes months after the Office of Personnel Management announced that premiums would go up for 264,000 people, in some cases more than doubling. More now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
Participants in the federal long-term care program who saw their premiums go up an average of 83% won't see much relief after the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee held a hearing on the topic this week. Instead, they'll hear about a lot of anger and confusion from the representatives who, like them, are baffled why long-term care premiums rose so much so quickly. Both Democrats and Republicans say they heard complaints from constituents and federal employees loud and clear, and many of them showed up to hear from OPM and federal long-term care vendor John Hancock about why premiums went up so much. Both organizations say there are several reasons. First, John Hancock says it had flawed actuarial data about how many participants would file claims with the company, how long those claims would last, and how well the company's investments would perform. Mike Doty is the president and general manager of John Hancock Insurance. He says the company reviewed the federal program in 2014, and they discovered that the fund that manages the program would go into a deficit if John Hancock didn't do something.
We found that new claims were increasing, particularly at older ages. Claims were lasting longer than expected, and policies with higher daily benefits had higher than expected claims. We continue to evaluate the data. Overall, the data revealed changes in mortality rates. People are living longer than previously expected. Morbidity rates. More people are requiring long-term care and for longer periods of time. And investment changes. We've been in a sustained period of low interest rates. On page 7 of my written testimony, there is a chart that captures the effects of these changes. The Experience Fund was projected to enter a deficit between 2035 and 2040 without a premium change.
That meant that OPM couldn't make good predictions either about future long-term care premiums. John O'Brien is the director of healthcare and insurance at OPM.
The reevaluation of the long-term cost projections by John Hancock indicated that the long-term costs of the program were higher than we were originally projected. Then, in April, as part of the contract, when they provided us with bids, they had done additional revisions of their assumptions, including revisions to their long-term projection of revenue returns. So we had, as I've said in my testimony, we had the confluence of two unfortunate factors. We had higher long-term projected costs, and we had lower long-term projected returns. So those two facts meant that we had a very huge increase coming on.
And that meant that OPM had a decision to make.
Given the magnitude of the bad facts that we had to deal with, it's different to say, yes, give me smaller increases rather than give me 30% this year and then follow it up with a 40% next year. Because then you have the situation in long-term care that people can make the 30% increase and they stretch to make their budget, but they can't make the 40% increase. So they're in a circumstance where we have effectively made them pay additional money for a benefit they will not be able to take advantage of because they make the choice to lapse.
But the committee had a tough time understanding why OPM chose not to raise premiums a few times incrementally rather than one large increase over 1 year. Or why the agency didn't publicize that policyholders would see a big hike in premiums soon. Several Maryland and Virginia lawmakers seemed particularly interested in these questions. Virginia Congressman Barbara Comstock and Congressman Don Beyer both expressed their concerns. But Virginia Congressman and Government Operations Subcommittee Ranking Member Jerry Connolly was perhaps the loudest. And he wanted to know what OPM plans to do to change the long-term care program so that it doesn't happen again in the future. Here's O'Brien.
I believe what I'm saying is that we do not have a position that I can offer in terms of recommendations to this committee as far as what we think we should do to move forward in terms of addressing the problems in long-term care insurance. I have found this hearing very, very helpful. There's a number of ideas and proposals and ways to deal with the challenges of the program, and we are wide open to working with this committee and all of these individuals on how we can come up with solutions.
But Mr. O'Brien, it's not my purpose to play Torquemada here, but surely you knew about this hearing. You knew we were planning on this hearing. This is not a new item in the press. It's gotten lots of coverage. You certainly have had feedback from federal employees and federal retirees. We certainly have. Ms. Comstock Mr. Beyer and myself, and yet you come here empty-handed. You're open to ideas, the hearing is fascinating, but we have nothing in our kit bag to offer the people we serve. That's your testimony.
My testimony is that we do not have a proposal that is ready for being shared with the committee at this time. The options and the discussion that has been offered around here goes in a number of different directions. We would like to evaluate those possibilities and come to this committee and this group with a proposal that we could really lay out, and we've weighed all the pros and cons, and we have not yet done that.
Any idea of the timeline when you will do that?
We are continuing to work. I cannot give you a timeline at this time, sir.
Connolly wasn't thrilled with that answer. Here he is again with O'Brien.
Well, then let me say this to you. I'm the ranking member of the subcommittee, and I'm going to use every influence I've got to make sure you are summoned back to this subcommittee. And at that point, we will expect specific proposals. You owe that to the federal employees and retirees who count on this product. You're not a passive observer. Just responds to the whims of the market with, oh my. You have an obligation to the people you serve. And you have an obligation to this Congress to come here with concrete ideas about how to ameliorate and resolve this issue. And we will expect that next time we see you, sir.
The National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, or NARF, has a few ideas. Richard Thissen is the NARF national president.
I think there should be a public-private partnership that looks at catastrophic protection. It looks at ways to encourage more individuals to purchase long-term care insurance, because the wider we can spread the risk and the wider we can spread the pool, it helps everybody. And then I also think that if we can put something together like that, we possibly maybe even can save some money on Medicaid, because we've paid some of that up front.
But long-term care prices will, no matter what, go up. The baby boomer population is getting older, and it's an expensive group of people to cover. More and more companies are choosing to get out of the long-term care business altogether. John Hancock itself recently decided to stop offering standalone long-term care policies to individuals. Doty said the demand for long-term care is going down, and the company couldn't drum up enough customers to keep offering the policy. And that's because...
I would say the primary issue, because if you see sales have come down, it's because of the pricing. Yeah. I do believe that there's still a reluctance for younger people to think about long-term
right.
care.
Mark Cohen is the director of long-term care services for supports at the University of Massachusetts. He studies the long-term care insurance market. And he says rate hikes are happening across the entire market, not just in the federal space. Actuaries are still studying what this means for the future. And too few young, healthy people are buying long-term care policies, which would drive costs down. O'Brien says he still thinks OPM made the right decision to raise premiums all at once, rather than several incremental increases. Virginia Congressman Don Beyer says he's still not convinced that incrementally raising premiums was the worst of the two options. But he says in the future, something has to change. Here's Beyer with O'Brien.
Yeah, I know Mr. Connolly was very firm there at the end. And I think what I heard from that is that we really need a commitment from you to have to do things differently, lest the 2016 hearing be like the 2009 hearing. And we're back here again in 2023, tearing our hair out again and asking you questions that you have a hard time answering.
I would like to avoid that as well.
In Washington, Nicola Grisco, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Check out all of our pay and benefits coverage, it's the best anywhere, at federalnewsradio.com.